Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. It's December the 2nd, 2024. I failed to say that at the top of the hour last hour.
It's hard to believe.
I know.
Just going to be honest.
Oh, that it's already December?
December 2nd.
I know. December 2nd, 2024.
It was such a slow news year.
It's not the most wonderful time of the year as far as I'm concerned. That song doesn't apply to me.
I've mentioned this on the air here in the last year or two, but it's been pretty cold. And I know I'm a Yankee.
You mean the last few days?
The last few days.
Where we live.
And I know
people
I'm from
North
New
are
England.
Laughing, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just going, I just don't like cold weather anymore.
I know. Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Hey,
Paisley,
good morning.
Jordahl.
This Colorado boy doesn't mind it a bit. You know? Yeah. Not at all.
Well, now, Christmas is wonderful. I love Christmas.
Sure.
Like everybody, if you're an American, you better love Christmas,
yeah.
Right? I love Christmas and New Year's and the celebration and the fun and family and festivities, all
yes.
That, and fireworks. You like my four Fs right there? Fun, festivities, family, and fireworks.
But not necessarily in that order.
Right, right, right.
Now, I don't like fireworks. I like looking at fireworks.
Yeah.
I don't like
being near them.
I don't like partaking. My kids call me Captain Safety when they were growing up because I'm all about, hey, you can blow a finger off. Let your neighbors do it. You can watch from here.
I know.
I need to go back to something. Ed, did you just play the young whippersnapper on me?
Yes, I did.
I love it.
The reason it's not the most, quote, wonderful time of the year, number one, it gets dark at 5 o'clock.
Amen, brother.
Absolutely depressing.
I don't like that either.
You get up, it's dark. You go home from work, it's dark.
Yes.
That is wrong.
I don't like it.
No, it's like you live in Alaska.
It throws off my circadian rhythm, which happens to be the only rhythm I have.
What rhythm?
Your circadian.
That circadian rhythm. Isn't that the one that comes out every 7 years or 17 years?
Yeah, those circadians.
Man, that was funny.
I'll tell you, when they invaded the Roman Empire, that was the beginning of the end.
So when you get up, it's dark, and you go home, it's dark. That's just
wrong.
It's wrong. So you got that going on from now to, we didn't even have the shortest day of the year till the end of December, right?
Yeah, 21st.
Yeah, see, we didn't get to the shortest day of the year. So the shortest day, and it's cold. Of course, again, cold's relative, I understand.
Yes.
Our friends who listen in the north, they're
folks in Buffalo, probably.
They're laughing.
Yep.
Going cold. It's 45. Whoa, Tim, you're going to freeze to death, are you? Okay. Yeah. So I did watch the game in Buffalo last night. Did you watch that?
I did. No, I did not. I watched the Georgia Tech, Georgia game. No, I didn't.
Buffalo.
I was driving all day yesterday.
Okay. Well, anyway, last night the Buffalo Bills were playing the San Francisco 49ers. Quite a much of a game as far as competitiveness, but the it was snowing torrential. If you can have a torrential,
I don't think you can.
Okay,
but
well, a torrential downpour usually.
Yeah,
blizzard.
Yes, it was like a blizzard. It was like inches and inches.
So
of
who
snow.
Did you text about?
Oh, Steve, my friend, our Steve Tiber, who lives in Buffalo, who's 8 days of hope. He like
he's a Buffalo Bills.
Oh,
fan.
Buffalo Bills fanatic.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, Steve's priorities in life, Steve Tiber. Steve Tiber is, he does put God first.
Yes, amen, he does.
But then after that is the Bills, and then his family. You know what I'm saying? That's his priority list in life. And I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, folks. Steve loves his family, but the Bills are in top five.
I got a question then.
Yeah.
Back in the, if he's been a Bills
fan
a long
time. He was at the game last night.
Yeah, if he's been a Bills fan for a long time, there was a time when the Bills were a disaster. They lost four Super Bowls in a row, and then
no,
they weren't winning.
No, they were a disaster because they didn't win. That was a an excellent great team.
It was a good team.
Yeah.
But not only that, but then they went through several years of terrible, terrible stuff. So did Steve Tiber, you know, do 8 days of hope for the disaster at the Buffalo Bills?
Yes. I don't know. I don't know. But he was at the game last night. He sent me a video, and he looked like he was having a – I was just wondering how all these people are going to get home, you know. But then Allison said it's Buffalo. They're scraping the roads, if that's what you call it, every 10 minutes.
Plowing.
You know, plowing, not scraping. Anyway, so
scraping the roads.
That's how the Southern boy describes cleaning up snow, scraping the roads. All right, Steve, what do you got in there, my friend?
Let me just start with the what may be the greatest Donald Trump tweet or X of all time. He just tweeted out, I hope we never find life on another planet, because if we do, there's no doubt that the United States will start sending them money.
Now, I don't know if that's the greatest of all time, because he's got a lot of
He's got a lot of greatest hits.
Yes, his greatest hits album is a double album,
right?
From KTEL Records
or whatever.
So anyway, he's a little he's in fact, I just saw a interview that he did with Oprah. I looked it up. You can look it up online. In 1980-something, I think, he was on Oprah, and she asked, you know, what would you do differently if you were president? And a very young Donald Trump said, I'd make all these foreign leaders pay their fair share. He actually used that phrase.
Yeah.
He says, we're bankrolling the world. We're, you know, so he's been on this for a long time.
Yeah.
He is. Can we start? I know you guys covered the nomination of Kash Patel.
And Mike Huckabee. We interviewed Mike Huckabee.
Yes. There are a couple. So the nominations, he fast and furious. He was fast and furious, flooding the zone, as they call it, with these nominations. They say, I heard several people say he put them out like one after the other so the media wouldn't know who to focus on and couldn't bring all their guns to bear. Well, there are a couple nominations that conservatives are a little concerned about. And I wanted to start with the Secretary of Labor nominee. Her name is Lori Chavez de Ramirez, and she's a just defeated Congresswoman out of Oregon, Republican, but she is very, very pro-labor, and she's voted for a whole lot of
pro-union.
Pro-union. Well, yes,
yeah.
Pro-union. Thank you. She voted for the PRO Act, which is a law that would rein in gig economy. She was all in on all the unions, very transactional. So, and I think this is because Donald Trump, remember he had the union boss at the Republican National Committee? He's expanding the base of the Republican Party, and he wants union people to be there. But there is some concern about this guy's actual...
A guy or lady?
I'm sorry, lady.
Lady.
Because I got another one who's a guy.
What's her name?
Her name is Lori Chavez de Remer, D-E capital R-E-M-E-R.
Secretary of what?
Labor. So in charge of union?
Yeah, that's Trump's pick. So, you know, he must be comfortable with her. You know, as far as being, traditionally what you're saying is Republicans, Democrats, and unions are joined at the hip. You usually don't have somebody who's pro-union, pro-labor, identifying with the Republican Party, much less a Republican presidential administration.
Right.
But, you know, that's Trump's, you know, that's...
So, but that makes sense. We can at least attach a reason to why he's doing it. This one, I don't know.
What, the next one you got?
The next one. He has nominated a man named Chad Chronister, Chronister,
okay,
to head the DEA, the Department, Drug Enforcement Agency. Now,
what's his name again?
Chad Chronister, Chronister.
Okay, so Chad Chronister, Trump's nominated him
for the DEA.
Okay.
His office promotes transgender. I'm reading from a post from Spencer Robert Rogers, and all of these things I'm going to say, he has articles and receipts that we can post if you want. His office promotes transgendering teens by participating in the Trump Pride event, and he created a liaison office for transgenders. He expanded the offices. This is his office when he was a DA, I believe, at from Tampa. He expanded his office's DEI program, has been a major proponent of anti-white male discrimination. In March of 2020, he arrested a local pastor who kept his church open during COVID.
Well, he was a sheriff, wasn't he?
He was a sheriff.
Sheriff? Okay, thank you. A big Democrat donor.
But I think Governor DeSantis at the time, excuse me, reversed that. I think Governor DeSantis made him pull back from, anyway, go ahead.
Well, he might have. He might not be successful. Yeah, yeah. This is what he wanted to do.
You're saying this is his ideology.
He released a criminal with 35 priors who went out thereafter and murdered somebody. He was weak during the BLM riots, having his deputies stand down as rioters destroyed property. He supports red flag gun confiscation of weapons. So this, again, a tweet or a thread from Spence Rogers on Twitter. I don't know who he's trying to appeal to with this pick.
Yeah, I don't know either, and this pick has gotten a lot of pushback from the MAGA community.
He's going to head up what now?
Drug Enforcement Agency, the DEA.
Well, as long as he does his job, I don't like the fact that he's been in favor of all those lefty ideas you've mentioned here in his past career, but he's hired to do drug enforcement. As long as he does that, I don't really care. I do care, but I mean, he's not going to be able to have more influence than just what we're talking about here, which is stopping the fentanyl. My guess is, I don't even know this to be true, but my guess is he may have been recommended to Trump by Bondi. Is that her name?
Pam Bondi.
Pam Bondi, who's going to be the attorney general for Trump. When she's confirmed, and she was Attorney General of Florida. She's also from Tampa area. My guess is these two know each other, and maybe she recommended him for the job. Again, that's just pure speculation on my part, but I'm not really, as a conservative myself, this doesn't really get me upset with Trump too much. I mean, he's the one that's going to have to live with these picks.
And with all the solid picks he's made with Cash Patel.
Oh, yeah.
Tons, you know, of really
well, and
picks.
And so the question will be, and I have no idea, we're just going to have to wait and see, is will these two picks run into trouble on the Republican side in terms of confirmation? That'll be interesting to see.
What two picks? Which two?
Well, this one here, Chronister for DEA, and then Chavez
Deremmer.
I don't think they will. This is probably as Democrat friendly as you're going to get.
No, I'm talking about Republicans. Whether Republicans will support these two.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I think he'll get enough support. He's got 53 Republicans.
Yeah.
He can lose three and still get them confirmed.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And then there's the whole recess appointment thing.
If that happens.
If he needs to. So.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, what's the update on that? Has anyone said anything about whether that's going to happen, whether there'll be a recess?
I don't know that there's been any update since we last talked about it, which is that's on the table.
Okay.
Donald Trump has suggested that he would not be opposed to that if he needed to. The Democrats continue, and the media continues to be bipolar on President Trump. You remember Joe and Mika, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, Morning Joe? They went to Mar-a-Lago to, some people say, kiss the ring. But what they went to, they said, we need a reset, because they spent the whole first term of Trump's presidency and then this whole last campaign vilifying him, calling him Hitler and saying he's a threat to democracy and just, you know, don't humanize him. And they were just brutal on him. By the way, they were friends with him before he ran for president. But now that he's going to be president again, they decided they want a reset. So they went down to Mar-a-Lago to visit with the president and start things anew. That didn't go over too well with David Jolly, who is an MSNBC analyst. He's a Republican, actually, but one of the probably like the Cheney Republicans. And so he was on CNN, I believe. And this is what he had to say. He's a Florida, former GOP Florida congressman. He was on MSNBC, I'm sorry, the same network as Joe and Mika. And this is what he said about them going to visit Donald Trump. Cut 10.
But let's not overreact to this. Again, you didn't come out of the election upset because you knew you were wrong. You knew you were right, but you lost. So don't change the fundamental values. Don't just say we're going to give equity to Donald Trump, which some people are doing. In the Democratic Party, in media, among the electorate, they're saying, I just give up. We're going to give him equity. We're going to give him parity to traditional American values. No, that's absolutely wrong. You can't do that. Forgive me for saying this. You can't go to Mar-a-Lago. You can't do it. It's going to get me in trouble. You can't do that. You have to hold Donald Trump accountable for being wrong. You have to hold all of his allies accountable for being wrong.
Actually, from a principle standpoint, I don't agree with his, I don't agree with the names that Trump's been called and Hitler and all this stuff, Nazi and all this stuff. But if you're going to say those things, then to turn around and go to Mar-a-Lago, to the home of Hitler, and interview him, I agree with this guy's analysis from a principled standpoint.
If you believe it. If you actually believe
but
that
if you
he
don't,
is, if you, I mean, because I,
it was Joe all Rogan, hyperbole.
Joe Rogan, the very popular podcast host, the most popular podcast host in the world, says that the whole Trump vilification, Hitler threat to democracy was the biggest psyop. He called it a psyop, a psychological operation where you try to convince, basically gaslighting people, telling them that. They knew that he wasn't Hitler, but they needed to vilify him, and they just kept going on.
They went over the top, though.
They did. And so I guess you can be true to your own convictions. If this is his conviction and he really bought into the Hitler lie, then okay.
What he's doing is he's putting Joe and Mika on the spot by basically asking, did you really believe the Trump is Hitler stuff? And if you didn't, you shouldn't have said it. And therefore, if you're going to see Trump because you want to reset, because you're going to have to interview and have access to the Trump administration, then you're proving that you didn't believe it to begin with. It sounds like this was David Jolly. Is that his name? David?
Yes. David Jolly.
That he does believe it. He does believe that Trump is. And listen, I see some of these clips from the ladies on The View. They seem to believe it. I see these clips on social media from these young people with the piercings and the colored hair. Some of these young people are terrified. They believe it. Guessing that Joe and Mika didn't really believe it. It was just handy, and it was a bludgeon to beat Trump.
And they were on MSNBC. But remember, this is a lie. He never was Hitler. We had 4 years of Donald Trump already.
Right.
He wasn't a dictator. He didn't subvert democracy. You might not have liked his tweets. You might not have liked his demeanor at times, but he did. He had a fantastic first term as far as
Are you wanting to be his public spokesperson?
I know that's already been taken. I'm sorry.
Oh, who has he already announced who his press secretary is going to be?
Yes, he has, and it is.
So you could get that job,
that young,
Steve.
That young lady, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lady. Young lady, actually. It's going to be...
that's right. She's like 27 or something.
Isn't she? I'm looking for her name.
She just got her driver's license. Now she's going to be press secretary, huh? For the president. She must be incredibly bright.
Carolyn Leavitt, L-E-A or Leavitt.
I love it. What's her name?
Carolyn Leavitt, L-E-A-V-I-T-T.
Was it say how old she is?
Nope, not on this page, but I can look it up.
I guarantee you she's like 26, 27, 28, in there.
Okay.
Get her age and her social security number.
I got the wrong one.
It's Carolyn with a K.
Carolyn with the K.
This is really good radio.
Well, isn't it? She's gonna be the Kaylee McEnany.
Yep.
27 years old.
Okay, she's 27. And Okay.
Borky was born in 1997.
That's where you play.
I am so old.
That's where you play the young whippersnapper card. Yes. Not her, not me.
No, she's very sharp. I'm not going to call her a whippersnapper.
Well, she's been with Trump for a while now.
The whippersnapper card on some.
So she's got a hard act to follow because I'm not talking about.
Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Corinne Jean-Pierre is, she's easy to follow. You just lie every day. Huh?
And
I'm talking about Kayleigh McEnany and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Yeah.
They were both
top notch.
Yeah.
Top notch. So she'll be following in their footsteps in terms of being Trump's press secretary. Now, what Trump's last year in office, didn't he just cut out? Didn't they just cut out press? For a while there, they just quit doing it. Maybe that was COVID or something.
Well, it was taken over by the COVID, I think.
They just quit doing them.
The COVID
quit doing the press room briefings. But
that's what I mean.
He never avoided a scrum.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Airplane
Remember,
or whatever.
He had those, during those public media events, he would come on Trump himself and talk for 2 hours. You remember when they're updating people on what's going on and...
Oh yeah, but he wouldn't even go out to what they call the rope line, going out to Marine One.
Yeah,
at the White House, you know, to get on the helicopter, which is Marine One. He would sit there and talk to the reporters for 15 minutes.
Yep.
No, Trump's never personally shied away from any media, unless he just doesn't like you or he's mad at you for some reason.
Right.
He may avoid you for a month and then he's back. But he, as far as being able to freewheel, and talk and discuss issues,
unlike President Biden and Vice President Harris when she was running for president.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible, both of them. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, let's end here. Good news.
Good news.
Yeah, sales of the Bible are booming. According to the book tracker Circana book scan, Bible sales are up 22% this year through the month of October.
Why is that?
Well, because there's a lot of doubt and turmoil and tension, a lot of worry in this country.
Oh, there's not a new, so a new version didn't come out.
I don't believe there's
what we need. We need a new version.
Yeah, we do. We need two or three.
Don't have enough.
So this is sales year over year. So sales in 2024 compared to 2023.
Yeah.
Is up 20, would you say
22%. The book sales, other than overall, less than 1%.
Yeah. You know why that is? Because people think the world's about to end.
Yeah. People are experiencing, this is...
Do you think the world's about to end?
I do not.
You do not?
No.
Okay. Well, I ask you a question, give me a fair answer.
I do. I don't think the world's...
Jeff Crosby.
Because I had an investment for you. If you did, I thought I'd get your money. You know what I'm saying? Put it in this stock. I'm really high.
Here's why I say that. My personal belief is that... That the gospel needs to be preached around the world, and there are people who have never heard it. And I do not
think there'll always be people who've never heard.
Well, I'm saying in terms of nations being reached, like that 1040 window, there are nations that and people groups that have never heard the gospel. And so, I'm sure there are people screaming at their radio.
No, that's your a biblical opinion. Prophecy.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm sure there are people saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Here, you get the wrong eschatology. That's just my opinion, I think.
Right. Save your emails.
Yes.
Ed already gets enough emails.
That's right.
So, but the Bible, but I do think the Bible sales are surging because there is a lot of consternation and people wanting to know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Bibles are being more Bibles. That means if people are buying something, they're going to read it.
Hopefully they'll go to the church, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, gospel-preaching church.
Amen.
And the last questions.
Amen, brother. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
When you get that sling off?
It's going to be a while, I think.
Okay. Steve still got his arm in a sling.
Yep.
All right. My thanks to Ed, to Brent Creeley, our producer, Fred Jackson, Governor Mike Huckabee. And thank you for listening. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.